A scene from the novel Mindseed by Lucia Daly, set in the anthracite coal fields. Leo McHale breathed loudly and said it was better that way, but first they should all listen to the account of proceedings in the mayor's office that were likely to drive them all mad. Mike McNish solemnly blew big smoke rings from his clay pipe in silence. Leo extracted the morning crier from his back pocket and read, and this account from a decidedly pro-coal company newspaper, "We take pleasure in presenting to our readers the following interview conducted by the Honorable Henry Harding, attorney for the Hillrup Iron and Coal Company, with a committee of miners in the mayor's office yesterday." Harding states, "I had an interview of an hour's duration in the mayor's office with a committee of miners, and here let me say that I have never met more intelligent men of their class. They agreed the company's interest was identical to their interest and saw we could not meet their demands for a pay increase without encumbering our property further. Simply, the question was whether they would take a half a loaf or none. Would they have miners in other regions take the bread out of their mouth? They asked, might they anticipate a raise? I told them if they could tell me when coal would sell so as to pay the interest on bonds and give an increase to stockholders, I could tell them when wages would be raised. The impression I came away with was the abandonment of any expectation of a pay increase on the miners' part." The story continues with the workers talking among themselves. "Mr. O'Donnell poured another round. They'll try to bust the Greenback Union, see if they don't. But it mightn't prove to be so easy as they think. However, I can't say I ever met a person more deserving of a ball than him, still walking about the streets as if he never shot a man in his life. But if we can keep together, maybe we won't be needing any more strikes. We'll use the ballot box, back Powderly, and make damn sure them know-nothings don't stuff the boxes, if we have to stand guard ourselves all night." Mike McNish took little time to emerge from his retreat in the corner. With ceremony, he dragged his chair to the center of the room, sat, finished his drink, carefully placed the glass on the floor beside him. Drawing himself up straight, he closed his eyes, drew a deep breath, and sent out his voice, which came to them in a soft, lilting wave, folding the room in its sonorous way. "The minstrel boy to the war has gone. In the ranks of death you'll find him. His father's sword he hath girded on, and his wild harp slung behind him." Words from the novel Mindseed by Lucia Daly, set in the anthracite coal fields in the 1870s and beyond, centering on the often violent relationship between workers and coal companies during that period, the industrial history of the region told here in fictional form in a gripping way. Author Lucia Daly and many others will take part in programs throughout January in northeastern Pennsylvania to tell the stories of the territory and the times during Anthracite Mining Heritage Month. Robert Wolensky, professor emeritus at the University of Wisconsin-Stevens Point and native of the Wyoming Valley, is a coordinator of the activities, and we had a chance to speak with him by phone about the commemoration.
It began really in 1999 at the Anthracite Heritage Museum in Scranton with a Knox Mine Disaster commemoration. It was the 40th anniversary of the Knox Mine Disaster, which happened in January of 1959. And I should add that the folks of the greater Pittston area had an annual church service beginning in 1960, the year after the disaster. And they kept the flame burning every year in January. They would have a mass. First at St. Joseph's Catholic Church in Port Griffith, where many of the miners who perished, the 12 who perished at the Knox disaster, worshipped, and their families still did. And then the diocese sold that. It's now below the funeral home, and the service is ongoing, and it will be this coming January at St. John's, the Evangelist Catholic Church there in Pittston. But from those early seeds and the more academic and historical side up in Scranton at the Anthracite Museum, it has now blossomed into a series of programs numbering 15 this year, which is the largest number we've had between January 6th and January 26th. Up and down the valley, numerous sponsors will be in Wilkes-Barre, Scranton, Pittston, Port Griffith again, Plymouth, Nanticoke, Wyoming, Ashley, and co-sponsors include the Anthracite Heritage Museum once again, the Anthracite Heritage Foundation, King's College, Luzerne County Community College, University of Scranton for the first time, Wilkes University once again, the Lackawanna Historical Society, the Luzerne County Historical Society, the Boy Scouts of America kick it off every year with their Mining and Society Merit Badge. They will be January 6th at 9 a.m. at King's College for that merit badge. They've always kicked it off. The Greater Pittston Historical Society, Plymouth Historical Society, Nanticoke Historical Society, Uber Breaker Preservation Society, and the Knox Mine Disaster Memorial Committee. So you see, we've got about a dozen sponsors here. So it's a real tribute to the community. They do all the work. We're just the coordinators of this. But the local folks, the colleges, historical societies, religious institutions, and so forth, really make sure that this thing happens each year.
And you come at the history from many different angles, even if there is an overarching theme. Is there something that is the focus?
We have no annual specific theme, but the overarching focus is simply the history and culture of the Anthracite region of northeastern Pennsylvania, the coal region, as it's simply referred to. No other part of the country really has a coal region. The 10 county areas where anthracite was found, is still found. The mother lode in this hemisphere, 95% of this hemisphere is anthracite. The hard coal is in northeastern PA. We can find bituminous in over 30 states, bituminous coal, soft coal in over 30 states. But anthracite, the best coal, fired the Industrial Revolution. Ships loved it during World War I, for example, because they were steamships, and anthracite didn't give off much smoke. It doesn't have much sulfur. It's pure carbon. Of course, coal is in trouble nowadays, but during its heyday of 75 or 100 years ago, it was the premium coal, anthracite was. And we're the coal region, and so the folks who I've mentioned, the sponsors and co-sponsors, we've decided to every year acknowledge and commemorate that in January. Now, it's done all year long at various places, too, but the January event is built around the Knox disaster, and it's a coming together for some really intensive and fun understanding every January.
And there are things like talks, there are panel discussions, there are theatrical presentations. You have a different way of approaching various topics.
Yes. I mentioned the Boy Scouts kicking it off on January 6th. And by the way, the full schedule has been released to the press and should be in the newspapers. It's also the full schedule is available at the Anthracite Heritage Foundation's website and many other websites, the Lackawanna Historical Society's website, the Luzerne County Historical website, et cetera, et cetera. But on January 7th, for example, we have Charlie Compass of Scranton at the Lackawanna Historical Society's Caitlin House talking about a day in the life of an anthracite miner based upon the remarkable coal mining artwork of Mr. Remo Trieste Russo. This has been the not highly seen artwork that Charlie Compass is going to take us through and focus on and explain in the 2 o'clock on that beautiful Sunday afternoon, we hope. But there's a play. I mean, January 11th, Robert Hughes is going to do his one-act, one-person play, an interview with the Mine Workers Union president during the 1900 and 1902 strike, one Johnny Mitchell, president of the United Mine Workers of America. That'll be at the Wyoming Presbyterian Church Institute in Wyoming. And all these are free. These are all free. So that'll be a bit of a, you know, some play acting by Robert Hughes, and he's done this before, and it's always been very well received. We have a demonstration on January 16th, Uber Breaker Preservation Society. Uber Breaker Society is still active, still trying to bring attention to the Uber Breaker site and our coal mining history. Mike Mastardi from Wayne, PA, is a great collector, Erica, of anthracite mine equipment, other mining objects, memorabilia, papers, and he's going to demonstrate a number of his artifacts, which I think those who are really interested in the actual mining of anthracite are going to find quite interesting and educational. Mike Mastardi on January 16th. Plymouth has been involved every year on January 17th. Both Huber and Plymouth are evening programs. and so is the Luzerne County Society's program with Robert Hughes. But the Plymouth Society's president, Steve Conrad, and the former president, Georgetta Potocki, are going to talk about Plymouth's coal mining pioneers. Some of the earliest mining in the valley, Abijah and John Smith, Freeman Thomas, some of those really early guys who were, you know, gambling that anthracite would somehow catch on. And, of course, it really took off. They did not benefit from it that much, but they were the pioneers. That's what Steve and Georgetta are going to talk about. King's College, on January 18th, has the annual Monsignor Curran Lecture. Monsignor John J. Curran was the coal miner's priest. He was right there in 1900 and 1902. In 02, helping Teddy Roosevelt and Johnny Mitchell settle that horrific strike of 1902. And this is in honor of the labor priest. He's with the coal miners and their union. We have a tremendous speaker, Mark Balick, senior editor of the New York Times. Mark's going to speak on his recently published book, The Sons of the Molly Maguires, whose subtitle is The Irish Roots of America's First Labor War. You know, the Mollies were around in the 1870s, 1880s, even 1860s, mainly in the middle and the southern coal fields, but there were known Molly Maguire members in the northern coal field between Wilkes-Barre and Scranton. Indeed, some say that the Avondale fire, which was the largest fire in anthracite history, 110 men and boys died, might have been set by some arsonists who could have been Molly Maguire's, but that's never been proven in 1869. The University of Scranton is going to have a lovely program on January 19th. We're looking at four major anthracite strikes. Erica, I'm sure that the listeners know about the fact that we had strike after strike after strike in the anthracite region for 100 years. It didn't serve the industry well, but the men had some very legitimate gripes as well. But that's going to be in the DeNaples Student Center. And Sarah Pacini, Lucia Daly, Michael Nies, and myself, we're going to each pick a strike, and we're going to talk about it for 15 or 20 minutes, and then the audience can join in with questions. If you are an anthracite region native, and if your ancestors worked in the anthracite industry, they were involved in strikes. They were out of work for up to 6 months at a time. For example, in 02 or 1925, 26, they were out for extended periods of time. And these strikes were lesser strikes, but they involved weeks and even months. And you, Erica, on January 20th, the next day after the Scranton event, at 2 p.m. on Saturday the 20th, you and David Brocka of Los Angeles, both of you are documentarians of the Knox mine disaster. That weekend, we focus on the Knox because, again, Knox happened January 22nd, 1959, the last major disaster in anthracite, in our area of the anthracite region. You're going to show clips from your documentary of the Knox disaster of 1984, the first one, and Dave Brock is coming in from L.A., formerly he's originally from West Pittston, to talk about his nearly finished documentary on the Knox disaster. And you're going to do some screenings of that clips and commentaries about what you encountered and why you did it and some memories that you have of it. So we're very grateful that you'll be on the program again this year. You've been on in the past up at the Anthracite Museum in McDade Park. And they have music, too. We always have music at this program up there at McDade Park Museum. Jace Morris coming up from the Pottsville area to give us some coal music. And then on January 21st, that's the big Knox Day, the Mass, St. John's, 10 o'clock in the morning. We then go to the historical marker at 11:30 in front of the old St. Joseph's Church. This is the state historical marker, BHMC, now below the funeral home for a commemoration. And then we're going to walk along the river to the Knox disaster site. We do this every year. I think we've only been stopped once by the weather. But we'll gather and we'll walk up to the site, and Billy Best and myself and whoever else is there, we'll talk about that. Bill Hastie would always be there. You know Bill Hastie, who's now 98 and in the Veterans Hospital in Wilkes-Barre. Bill worked for the Knox Coal Company, and he's the last living survivor of the Knox Coal Company's business. Bill's 98. He won't make it this year, but he would always be there, and we keep him in mind as we walk up the tracks to the site. So that's the 21st, 10 a.m., 11:30 a.m., and 12 noon. The next day is the anniversary of the Knox, the 22nd, and the Nanticoke Historical Society's co-sponsoring myself and Mike Chimola, we're doing a presentation on who killed Tom Maloney. Tom Maloney, the Rebel Miners Union president in the early 30s to the mid-30s, opens a cigar box Good Friday, April 6, 1936, and explodes, kills him and his six-year-old son. Another man died from a cigar box mailed, and there were others mailed that either were duds or the Postal Service intercepted. So it was a really sad Easter in 1936. Maloney was massacred. He survived long enough to point out who probably sent the package. But that was, again, constant strikes, constant labor wars. And Maloney's assassination was part of the violence. We come from a very violent and very labor management conflict-torn area. So that's the 22nd, 7 p.m. And then the next day, 23rd, the Nanticoke Public Library is going to have a book signing where I will be there, and so will Chester Zaremba, who wrote a book on Nanticoke's history. 25th, the Greater Pittsburgh Historical Society is going to do our first ever program on the region's ethnicity. You know, we have dozens of ethnic groups in our region, most of them coming to the area to mine coal. But Carol Gargan is going to talk about Lithuanians, Jim McFarland, the Irish, Christine Patterson coming up from Atlanta, formerly of Wilkes-Barre, talk about Africans, Fiona Powell, Welsh, and Stephanie Longo of Scranton, the Italians. And that should be fun. That's at the St. John's Evangelist Church basement, 7 o'clock on the 25th. And finally, at LCCC, we have a program. I think it's going to be a great program. We're really looking forward to it. We have four folks in the area who have written books about baseball, professional baseball in the area. And that's Bill Cachetis, Jack Smiles, Paul Brown, and Sean Carroll. And they're going to talk about players and teams and games and baseball stories. I think it's going to be a really neat evening. That's at 6:30 on the 26th at the LCC Educational Conference Center in the lower campus. They're going to be signing their books at 6 p.m. They've published, you know, more than a few books each on this subject. And the area, you know, has a great sports history, and we've never really tapped into the sports history. Lots of wonderful sporting stories and memories and people. And so this is the first one we're doing on the 26th, 6:30 at LCC. All these have refreshments, of course, except the church services and the hike to the Knox disaster site. But there's coffee and light refreshment at every one of these. And the public is invited to attend them all free of charge. So just good folks who are concerned about the area's history. And last year we had over 1,000 people come to the various programs that we had. And for the first time, we're doing sports and ethnicity, branching out from just mining. Now, I should therefore say that in the past, it's been called Mining History Month for the past 6-7 years. This year, it's called Anthracite Mining Heritage Month. So we broaden more into the heritage aspect, in part because two of the main sponsors of the Anthracite Heritage Museum and the Anthracite Heritage Foundation. But having branched out into heritage allows us to speak and address such topics as ethnicity and sports. We're going to do that more in the future. And art. Well, let's not forget Charlie Kempis is talking about the remarkable coal mining artwork of Remo Trieste Russo and the play. So we're branching out into other areas of cultural and social history as well. But I want to mention that, again, we do this each January, but similar activities happen all year long at your local historical society and local colleges. And so I think it's a real opportunity. Northeastern PA, I mean, Erica, our history is as good as anybody's history. If you study it, we have a tremendously exciting and fascinating and important history. And these 15 events speak to that. But there are, I know the Anthracite Museum in Scranton is going to have one event a month, a lecture, some kind of a program on local history. And they do a great job up there. Eric, I want to mention just one more thing. And this is an interesting year from another respect. The events this year will commemorate the 250th anniversary, 250, of the Connecticut Yankees' return to the Wyoming Valley. And one of their number, Obadiah Gore, Jr., who was a blacksmith, who knew about hard coal's properties and used hard coal in his business, he was among them. And many historians argue that his early use of anthracite marked the beginning of what we know as the coal region. That was in 1768. So we're using the logo, which Scott Herring, a local photographer and hard coal historian and advocate, has put together this promotional campaign to really commemorate the 250th anniversary of the founding of the hard coal region and the early use of anthracite in our area. And really the beginning of the whole anthracite enterprise, which is one of the first great American business enterprises.
Robert Walensky, Professor Emeritus at the University of Wisconsin-Stevens Point and a native of the Wyoming Valley, author of many studies of regional history and a coordinator of the activities for Anthracite Mining Heritage Month, and that's January 2018, getting underway on January 6th with the Boy Scouts of America program through January 26th at Luzerne County Community College. There will be a public program with authors writing about professional baseball and the Anthracite region. For details on all of the events, one of them Dr. Walensky mentioned, January 18th, for example, at King's College in Wilkes-Barre, the annual Monsignor John J. Curran Lecture featuring Mark Bulick, who is senior editor at the New York Times, speaking on his book, Sons of the Molly Maguires, The Irish Roots of America's First Labor War. That's on January 18th at 7 in the evening, and the admission is free. For more information about all of the events of the month, on the website for the Anthracite Heritage Foundation, and that's ahfdn.org, ahfdn.org. Anthracite Mining Heritage Month, getting underway on January 6th, continuing through January 26th, 2018. For more information, ahfdn.org.